God knows what we need before we ever ask. God knows what we need before we ever even identify it. And God works in many different ways to provide for those needs to be met. And one of them right now, it seems that I'm very, very loud. The last few months have convinced me that I'm an important person in God's universe and in God's plan, and that whatever I am lacking, He wants to supply. Whatever I need, He's able to supply as well. And that's the whole purpose of my sermon this morning. God is able to meet every need that you have. And not only the need, but God is able to provide beyond the need. Sometimes we don't recognize what we need. Sometimes what we think can be good, but it's really not the best plan for us. And self-justification is an interesting thing. Whatever the conscience condemns, the mind can figure out a way to justify it. Now, I've spent almost a year dealing with my own emotions and how I feel. And being a care provider, it brings about all kinds of different feelings, all kinds of different thoughts. You are reminded, at least I've been reminded of the past. I've been reminded of the future. What could have been, what I thought was going to be. And then it's just suddenly all of it changes. I want you to notice 2 Timothy with me this morning. Verse 6. I'm persuaded, like Paul, that we don't always know ourselves what we need. And I would say pastors probably fit into that category. Sometimes we need others to help us along the way. But in verse 6, it says this: therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Imagine, if you will, about 30 or 35 men dressed in dark suits, shiny shoes, color-coordinated ties, neatly dressed, gathered in a circle, and they urge one man to the center of the circle. Somebody says, I've already asked 4 people to pray. And would you please pray in this order? And that group of men gathered around the man that was in the middle. They put their hands on his shoulders, making a complete circle all the way around. And those that could not reach him put their hands on the shoulders of the other men. The first man spoke. The second man spoke. And the third man spoke. I'm telling you, God knows what we need much better than we do. Good men spoke. I will never forget the words of the fourth man. He started this way. Lord, there was a long pause. Almost an uncomfortable pause. I'm the man in the middle. I've heard every one of the other men's prayers. And this man just starts with one word, Lord. This long, uncomfortable pause. He says, this is not fair. I get to leave here and go home to my wife. These other men who are married, they go home to their wives. But Wendell can't. I've been prayed for a lot. Many of you here have prayed for me every day, and I appreciate it. But I've come to understand God knows what Wendell needs before Wendell ever even recognizes it. And I want you to recognize that God knows what you need too before you ever recognize it. Through that uniqueness, not just what Harold Cunningham said, but that experience of being in the very presence of God Himself. Something was happening to me, and I didn't even recognize it. You see, verse 6 here says, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hand. You know, ministry is an interesting adventure. Sometimes you don't know when to go to a church, and sometimes you don't know when to leave. And sometimes you know when to leave. But for all of those who are engaged in ministry, there should be the recognition that they have a gift. And it's a gift that's given to serve and to serve at whatever capacity God calls. Well, I know last year I've served God in the capacity of speaking and some light administrative duties, and that's just about been it. But I don't regret the time that I spent with Debbie, my wife. And I look at the parking lot of this church today, and our church hasn't suffered that much either. God's made up the difference. What happened to me there during that prayer? I'm just going to say it's a new focus. I don't even know anymore what the true, well, I do know the true definition of discouragement is and depression is. But I'd rather focus on what God says He will do alongside of that. And Paul's talking to Timothy here, and I don't believe Timothy even knew that he needed to be reignited or rekindled. That's what the Greek word here means. It means to reignite or to rekindle, Timothy, the gift that God gave you. I honestly believe I'm in ministry today because God gave me a gift. And I want that gift to be stirred back up. I want the fire again. I want some of the laughter again. I want some of the joy, full joy that comes again when I have perfect peace. And those things that I want, God is giving it to me. I believe we're going to have a good year together. A wonderful year. Now that's the first part of the sermon. Part number two is here. As we read on, it says in verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love." And what's the next one? Would you repeat that, please? You said it. That God has given us a sound mind. Some of you may argue with that one just a little bit. A sound mind doesn't mean you have to be right all the time, but you do exercise general counsel. Verse 10 speaks about the purpose and grace of Jesus Christ who has saved us. Verse 10, "But now it has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Wednesday afternoon, when Penny and her mother and aunt and her family and I were gathered at Murray Medical Center, and they were saying goodbye to her cousin who died, it's kind of inappropriate at the moment to say that he has abolished death. Because the sting of the first death right now is very real. But there is a power greater than that. I'm telling you, dear people, God has stirred up some stuff. I want you to get stirred up, rekindled, reignited. What we're teaching and what we're professing is real to people. It's a matter of life and death and immortality and eternity and everything wrapped up together in one big package. When you receive Christ, you are to receive it all in abundance. I don't know why Paul told Timothy this, but when you read on down here in verse 12, he says, "For this reason I also suffer these things." Well, that's, you know, he's in prison. He's been a minister of the gospel, and they didn't like what he had to say, and so they've sent him to prison. But listen to this. This is the second part here. "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." When I was driving up there, Penny, to the hospital, I was thinking to myself, God, can I do this? Am I emotionally ready for this? I shouldn't even have been worried about it. The Lord gave me a calmness and an assurance. I hope the family felt it. But with a greater sense of integrity than ever before. When I hug someone who just lost a son or a loved one, I can tell them with assurance, it's going to be okay. You can make it. There's somebody stronger than us in this room. I've always looked at this verse in the sense that if my life is given to Christ, God's going to keep it in His care until He returns. But there's something else here. And, you know, every once in a while I do read the commentaries. I want to know what other people say. Translated word for word, it says, and I am persuaded that you are able to guard my deposit unto that day. Now that's different than what you got there probably. Paul says, I'm persuaded that you are able to guard my deposit until that day. So, I can see here God giving something to man in the personage of Jesus Christ, and I certainly understand what it means for man to give his heart, his mind, and surrender to God. In other words, God's going to preserve and protect the gospel of Christ, which is the whole package, until the end of time. And God is going to preserve and protect and wrap a border of safety around all of those who are willing to give themselves back to Him. No wonder he says, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. Last Sunday morning, I was in a little church over in Ellijay. Our cousin's funeral was in the afternoon, and I drove over a little early. And as part of the pastor's sermon, he was trying to describe to the congregation what it means to follow Christ. And he says, sometimes when you follow Christ, he takes you through the briar patch. And you have to choose whether or not to follow him through the briar patch. And it says you get stuck. You can't see good. And you don't understand why you're there. But if you trust, he will lead you into full, abundant walk in a much, much better way. I'd like to read verse 13. He says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. God bless you. Lord, today We ask that you would continue the work that you've started in each of us. We give you permission to rekindle our purpose for living. We ask that you would reignite the inner man in each of us. We are sorry where we have failed you in the past. Like the Apostle Paul this morning, we want to be able to say, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that you will keep us. We need your presence, and we need your power to do the work assigned to us here in this county. We stand in surrender today, some of us maybe not even realizing where we stand. But we stand asking that you would work in us, that you would work in our heart and in our conscience, in our mind. Give us a continuing renewed spirit of hope and of help. And Lord, we are grateful that you live within our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.